celebrating a day later, record-setting Super Bowl. We'll talk about that in a second. Meantime, Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City, changing that tune big time. He doesn't want to shell out a cent. New York is going bankrupt. He says flat out the U.S. needs to pay for this 9/11 trial. You want to keep it here. Those are almost fighting words. In the meantime, Michael Jackson's doctor is now freed on bail. What does that all mean? And, of course, after that horrible blast in Connecticut, the governor there calling for a safety review, that's not a surprise. And that, of course, was a plant that wasn't even online. Five people dead and a ton of other people injured as a result. The Dow also closing below 10,000 for the first time in 3 months. We'll talk with our financial guru, my pal Saul Album, coming up around the bend. Kate Delaney, in the meantime, hanging with you here on America Tonight. Wherever you are, I hope you're not digging out of snow somewhere. Boy, it's been really rough on folks with the snow, especially in the Northeast. 28 inches. Now they're supposed to get more in Philly and Washington on Tuesday into Wednesday. More school cancellations as a result, and flight cancellations and all that kind of stuff already ahead of this storm system. And we checked in with the mothership just before we jumped on the air. And, Matt, what is it looking like in Minneapolis?
It's mini Snowmageddon.
Yeah, snow is falling once again there, huh?
Yeah. Not as big as what we got in the East Coast, but, you know, a mini version of it. So probably we'll get 8 to 10 inches, something like that.
So brace yourselves listening to us in the Midwest, too, particularly in that Minnesota area. I know a lot of you, actually, hi to Skunk, who listens to us in Minnesota, a lot of you catching us even through the Internet. The Super Bowl drawing a massive audience, as I said, 106 million viewers. So MASH, the finale of that show, was the most watched television show ever. Every single year when they talk about the Super Bowl, they bring up MASH. MASH, 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 MASH. Well, now that was smashed. And 106 mil watching the New Orleans Saints. You know, they had that underdog flavor, I think. Really, in my mind, Minnesota should have been there once they weren't. I think a lot of people were really pulling for the Saints. And most of it, you know, certainly they have their fans. But besides the fans, people pulling for New Orleans because of what happened there with Hurricane Katrina. So it was kind of a, in a weird way, sports transcending and a feel-good story. And there were a lot of feel-good stories among the players. Drew Brees, pitcher of the year, bar none, at least at the start of the year. I mentioned this in a previous show, but he's got his son, and he has the headsets on, and his eyes are all filled with tears. That was a sweet shot. That's a photographer's dream to get that. I mean, you can tell he was just overrun with emotions, and his son right there in his arms, just a child not having any idea what was going on, but will be able to look back in his life and see there he is with his dad in this incredible moment of his life. All right, this would be an incredible moment for New York City. I thought it was a blunder from the get-go. Remember the day that I found it out, I just went crazy on America Tonight. So many of you did as well. I thought it was a mistake from the beginning. One, from the aspect of just trying to cover off the people in the city, for goodness sake. And you knew costs were going to be high, and trying to prevent anybody from getting inside that quarter, that area, not far from where the towers fell, and that courtroom. I've been by it a ton of times. It's in a really tricky, tricky area in the financial district. So now the mayor, who was so all about this in November, he changed his tune a couple of weeks ago, and he's flat out saying, look, if the Obama administration wants to guarantee it's going to help pay for the security and all that other infrastructure, the city's going to have to provide for the trial of professed September 11th mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four other dopes, then he's all for it. But he says he's skeptical because a lot of times the feds promise to pay and then the monies don't come. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Singing a tune that so many of us have sung in the past. Well, Mr. Mayor, you should have thought about that before you started rallying around it in November, which is exactly what he did. How could they have not flushed this out before they jumped on board? you know, the cost of having this trial in Lower Manhattan, this is just a guesstimate, somewhere in the ballpark of $200 million a year. You know how long it's going to take? And that impartial jury you're supposedly going to find in New York City? So you have the president saying over the weekend he has not completely eliminated the possibility of holding the trial in the Big Apple, even though there is this opposition from the mayor and from Chuck Schumer, one of the senators from New York, and several other people. He's not ruling out. And this is infuriating. This one part of what he said when he was on CBS. I think it's important for us to take into account the practical logistical issues involved. Really? Of course, before Eric Holder, your attorney general, said, yes, we are going to have the trials here and made a big deal of it, and Al Jazeera was clapping and putting it up, posting it up all over the place, couldn't wait to rip into New York City. Why did they do that without putting the costs together? It makes no sense. It's like a crazy wish list. So I'm going to say it would be the blunder of 2010 to continue down this road with New York City. There should not be a terror trial there, period, end of story. Cannot afford it. Can't afford the possibility of the risks of what could happen. It's just a dumb idea. So forget it. Move on. Pick another place. Pick another place, because this is not working. We talk about security. And, of course, ever since the Christmas Day would-be bomber in Detroit, we've had a bunch of terminals evacuated, some missteps, some other things that have happened. And a portion of the terminal at the Detroit airport was evacuated. There was a man without a boarding pass who walked through a passenger screening checkpoint, didn't obey the security officers. It was about 7:45 or so in the morning, so a lot of people were there. He was stopped by the police after a stun gun failed to stop him. That's nice. And they had to evacuate, because it's a security breach, they had to evacuate at a high time when a lot of planes were taking off. They had to evacuate that terminal. So at least they did the right thing. The TSA activated immediately an alarm. Security doors were lowered at part of the terminal between the security checkpoint and the terminal concourse. People were evacuated from that area, and they followed the guy until the airport police arrived, and they stopped him. They hit him with the taser. It didn't have the effect, like I said. So then they wrestled, like Jason, you know that movie, Halloween, dee-dee-dee-dee. He was like that. Is this guy going to come down? Finally, the officers wrestled him to the floor and handcuffed him. And they had the dogs come in. They searched the portion of the terminal. But what if you were in that section? All of a sudden, the alarms go off. Boom! The gates go down. You have no clue what's happening. And it's because this guy gets through. And he parked illegally, I guess, outside of the terminal. They don't know what the deal is with him. They don't know why he did what he did, if it was some kind of a bizarre hoax. They don't think there was any terrorist ties to him at this point, but haven't said anything specifically, just that he failed to comply with the orders, and they're checking out what possible motivations for what he did, what could be the cause for that. It's not clear why he did it, in other words. It's quite clear we're talking about the Dow and finances next here on America Tonight.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD. Seed. That's 1-866-653-7333 today.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Yeah.
Coming up on America Tonight, we have a dungeon moment. This is a good one, too. Every single one of us can relate to this. Yeah, you're going to be furious when I tell you who we're putting in the dungeon. But it has nothing to do with matters financial, at least Wall Street-wise. So, for once, we're not throwing those guys in the dungeon, although we certainly could. Tough day as the Dow closed below 10,000 for the first time in 3 months. In the meantime, the Mortgage Bankers Association, I just saw a report on this, sold its headquarters short losses, millions, basically. And when you see, like now when you see a sold sign, what does that mean anymore? So it was the Post. I caught this today. They were reporting that that trade group, which represents somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,400, 2,500 real estate finance companies, sold the D.C. headquarters for $41 million. That's half, just over half of what it paid for the building 3 years ago. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. And when they got the 10-story place in 2007 for $79 million, they said it would finance the property in part by leasing the space. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? All right, it's always fun to have my pal, financial guru of America Tonight, Saul Album, on the show. Sawly, how you doing?
Great, great. Thanks, Kate. Yeah, I saw that article, too, and I was laughing for a few minutes. $79 million they paid for it, got out at, what you said, like 41?
Yeah.
$42 million, and, you know, that's why you don't take advice from mortgage bankers.
Yeah, no kidding. Is that true?
Mortgages.
Yeah, no kidding. So the Dow Jones clicks below 10,000, as I said, the first time in 3 months. And you know what this is? A lot of this is the concern about the debt load in Europe. So this is kind of scary what's happening here. I mean, we need this to bump back up. You know, there's highs and lows and all that other nonsense. But the Europe part of it, I think, is the frightening part. What do you say?
You know, that's very good. Absolutely, Kate. And a lot of people are saying now, what is going on with Europe, and what's with this term pigs?
Mm.
All right, so that's what we're talking about here. Now, why does this concern your listeners? Why do they care what goes on the other side of the world? Well, of course, you know, pig stands for Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, and Spain. Now, those are not too big countries. And that's what I was thinking to myself, because, you know, Greece is such a small country, Portugal. But here's the thing, Kate, when they all add up, they add up to almost 40% of the total production of Europe. Those countries, the pig countries.
Okay? Mm.
So those pig countries are having problems. That means Europe itself will go down. That's what we're talking. That's where we're going. So you remember Lehman's bankruptcy? It was the biggest bankruptcy on record. It was $600 billion, a lot of money, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, all the pig countries of Europe, they have over $2 trillion out in U.S. debt. So we're talking, if they start to go under, we're going to look at something four times larger than Lehman Brothers. Going out.
That's like a, what are they calling it, a global depression. That falling euro kills us.
That's right. Well, that's the problem. That's what we're looking at. So if the pig countries go out, Europe goes out, and they start slowing down, and that's what makes it difficult for us, because they're not going to be able to buy goods and services from us. So, yeah, so, you know, that'll be a big problem if they continue to go bad. And, this is exactly what we've been talking about for the last year, is that this, remember we brought up also the sovereign debt issue. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most scary of all, is the sovereign debt issue. We took corporate debt and then put all the bad problems onto the government or the back of the taxpayers. Well, they did that over in Europe too, but because they have all the socialist systems even worse than we do, they don't have the dynamic economy to support it. And they've already had all these broke down social systems on top of it. So they are really in trouble. And, Germany and France can't bail out everyone. Maybe they could bail out Greece, or they could bail out Ireland. Okay, they'll be all right. But you start adding in Portugal and Italy on top of it, this will really drag down the economies of Europe as a whole. And again, if they start dragging down, it's going to make it harder on the emerging markets, and it'll make it harder on us to grow too.
Well, on this show, moving to another subject that really enrages people, I've had a couple of callers from Kentucky and other spots bring it up. Our good friends Freddie and Fanny, and what's going on with them, and ultimately what we care about, and I love the way that you bring this down to our terms, why do people in this country care about all the money Freddie and Fanny are getting?
Well, first of all, Freddie and Fanny have gotten $111 billion. Okay, $111 billion alone. Now, this is what happens when you have, back 30 years ago, the government effectively backing the entire housing market. Okay, that's like taking, we're going to back all the automobile market, and then times it 1,000. Okay, that's the housing market. So, again, this is what bothers me the most, Kate, is that literally I just read a UN report, and it said that we could solve the entire communicable disease problem in the world. We could feed every starving child in the world, and we could get clean water and clean sanitation to every person in the world for $74 billion. That's the cost. Okay, I just saw that, and we just gave $111 billion to Freddie Mac and Freddie Mae. We could have like cured everything for every poor child in the whole world, but instead of doing that, we bailed out Freddie and Fannie Mae. I mean, doesn't that sound like great? You know, good use of money.
No.
Okay. So why is this bad? Well, I just came about. The CEO himself has admitted that now that Fannie and Freddie Mae are literally propping up the housing market, which everyone knows is the whole point, but doing it as a political game, literally just like Soviet Union, is that the people in charge have decided that they want to look good for elections, so they want to try to keep people in their homes that can't afford it and make everyone happy. So they're literally using Fannie and Freddie to implement regimes for political reasons, to get certain political people into houses in certain classes. And now this is the bad part. Now this is where we're going to go. It looks like so far 9.5% of all mortgages in the U.S. are 90 days late. All right? Mm-hmm. Not only that, but the housing market, including the people who are already 90 days late, assuming most of those go under, assuming everyone that's got kicked out of their house, and the total housing glut that's still there, we have 2 years of unsold houses in inventory, which means there's going to be a long time before we start clearing out housing. So let's say things start picking up soon. It's going to be another year, year and a half before the housing markets turn. So that's why we need to be very careful. You know, I would talk to people, I would counsel people over the next 6 months, start to look, or year from now to even start looking for a house. But I wouldn't do so now except in the strongest areas. There's just too many people going under, and there's too much inventory out there in housing. And we're expecting, a lot of financial guys are expecting another $75 to $100 billion in losses on Freddie Mac that's going to come out of the taxpayers.
Oh, wow. Just absolutely insane. Insane.
It's not insane, Kate. It's criminal. It's beyond, it's like gone beyond a comic. It's like I used to laugh at this. Now I've come full circle. I'm like your viewers. Now I want blood.
Yeah, that's right. Forget
I want
it.
Blood. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, you know, talking about piles. No, here's the whole thing, is that the Obama administration doesn't need to go to Congress to get more money for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It's going through the Treasury Department. So they just go right through, just shovel money in there to prop up a housing market for political gains. This is exactly what should happen. If you have problems, the banks should come in and get a piece of the equity of the house. Okay, so if you owe $200,000, your house is worth $100,000. Fine. So they could either foreclose on you, or you keep what you owe, and they own the rest. So when you sell the house, you get half of the proceeds. That's all you got to do. Turn into equity. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kate.
No. I absolutely agree with you. So we're out of time. That was terrific stuff. We love having you on. We'll talk to you again here in a couple of weeks or so.
You got it, Kate. I'll tell you the funny story with me and this investment banker at the Ritz. You'll laugh. Right. You got me back next time.
All right. So I've written that down. Everybody's going to want to know that story. Thanks, Saul. You have a good one.
You got it, Kate. Bye-bye.
All right. So he's right. He's certainly got the pulse of this thing going when he's talking about Fannie and Freddie. We don't even know now. They just have their own way of funding it. The Treasury just funds it. Oh, well, how much went there? And now the reports about the small businesses still not hiring. I mean, the recovery is stalled, and that's one of the reasons why, because people are scared to death. Coming up on the flip side, that dungeon moment, I promise. Stay with us.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today.
Wow. I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. Again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, this is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At HempUSA.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Hounded by debt collectors with phone calls and letters? Thinking of calling a debt relief company? Don't! Greedy lawyers and debt companies charge thousands. Why pay when you can get their solution absolutely free with New York Times best-selling author Herb Kay's number one debt secret, the how-to on stopping the calls without paying the debt companies. Yes, free for a very limited time. Here's Herb Kay.
Don't get ripped off by credit repair companies when I can give you the information you need to do it yourself for free.
Herb Kay was right. His free information helped me stop the calls and settle my debt.
What have you got to lose? Stop the calls now, get out of debt, and have more money. Get Herb Kay's number one debt secret absolutely free now. Call 888-352-7726. That's 888-352-7726. 888-352-7726.
If you like vitamins, say, ILikeVitamins.com. Vitamin lovers, it's your choice. Take pills and capsules with only about a 10 to 20% absorption rate, or take 10-in-1 liquid vitamin and mineral supplement at up to a 98% absorption rate. Yes, 10 formulas in one bottle. 10-in-1 liquid supplement is in your system in as little as 3 minutes. Just shake it and take it. Go to ILikeVitamins.com now and see our amazing video. 10-in-1 is a multivitamin and mineral formula that supports vision, enhances immunity, reduces stress, helps your heart, memory and mood, energy, digestion, bones and joints, and has super antioxidant age-defying nutrients. All of that and saves money, too. 10-in-1 great-tasting liquid supplement is equal to taking up to 5 different products and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to ilikevitamins.com. That's ilikevitamins.com. Or call 256-444-8000. 256-444-8000. 10-in-1, the world's greatest liquid vitamin and mineral supplement. Distributors wanted. Details at ilikevitamins.com.
I'll tell you what, I wish I could run instead of fly. I mean, actually, I like to fly, but I don't like what's happening with the airlines. Hey, everybody, America Tonight, the name of the show. My name's Kate. Yo, send us an email, americatonight.net, or flip us your thoughts at 800-259-5791. It's on the Big Bad Plush Network out of Minneapolis. Wish American Airlines would say it's on them. How about this? American Airlines now charging for blankets and a pillow, unless, of course, you're paying a gazillion dollars to fly first class. Isn't that nice? So if you fly starting May 1st anywhere, if it's, you know, a two-hour flight or whatever it is, they're going to charge you for that in coach. Yeah. They say they evaluate all aspects of their business to ensure that economic decisions are prudent and strategic for the long-term success of the company. So blankets are complimentary if you are in premium class cabins and all other cabins for international flights. Oh, there is the silver lining they thought they'd throw at us. The airline's going to sell a blue fleece blanket, ooh, with an inflatable neck pillow in a clear zippered pouch. They'll throw in a coupon for $10 off a $30 purchase at Bed Bath and Beyond. Great. So you could buy this whole thing and then have more luggage to carry around that you'd have to put in your bags, which already they're weighing our bags and everything else. And that's another thing that you would have to lug around. American lost $1.47 billion last year, $3.59 billion in the past 2 years, and less people are flying. And American didn't, you know, they said they couldn't raise their fares because of the competition, or they wouldn't have anybody flying American Airlines. I still think it's just completely bogus to charge for blankets and pillows. For that very reason, we are shoving American Airlines, all of yous, into the dungeon. Open the dungeon, Matt.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah, come on now. Give us a break. All right, speaking of flying, and they still didn't have to pay for the pillows or blankets yet, just keep this in mind. Does not happen until May 1st. So if you're going somewhere over spring break, you can still enjoy that free pillow and oh-so-sweet blanket that's been used by 10 other people probably by the time that you have gotten it. I guess if you have to pay for the pillow and the blanket, it's fresh and it's yours. You walk off the plane with it, but by the time you do that, get food. You've already spent $60. Oh, yeah, the bags, too. So you're actually up to $100. I mentioned at the top that the Super Bowl drew 106 million viewers, which is the most watched television show ever. One of the things that people now watch for, which is so crazy but great for the people who put the commercials together, is the commercials. And I thought there were some interesting commercials. There were some good ones. There were some that were kind of lame. But not the lamest I've ever seen. I mean, there were other Super Bowls that had so much hype about the commercials, and they fell, I think, much flatter. There were some really funny moments. One of them was the Brett Favre spot, which is incredible. Check out, listen to this, because it'll make sense. Check out the Brett Favre spot.
I'm honored to be here after 29 seasons and 50 years old. When you're older than most of the fans and coaches and owners, it's tough taking orders from people. Should probably retire after this. I don't know. Maybe.
We don't know what things will be like 10 years from now.
Thank you.
But we can assure you that your Hyundai will still be covered. Introducing the all-new Hyundai Sonata with the assurance of America's best warranty.
All right, bravo, Hyundai. It's about a car with such a smart ad, very funny, playing off the Brett Favre retiring thing, and he is pulling that off in a very good way, I think, in some of the spots that he's done, and this one was priceless, and he looked like he looked a lot older. What do you think, Matt? You saw that spot, and you obviously liked it because you pulled it out, and it stood out in your mind, right?
Yeah, I think it was one of the better ones. I thought, honestly, though, that for all the commercials that happened this year, it just... I don't think it was as big of a deal as it has been in the past. And maybe it's due to the economy or what, but I just didn't think there were as many memorable commercials as there were in the previous years.
Yeah, it could be. You could be right about that. I didn't think there was as many bad commercials, maybe because they were hyped up before so much more before, although people still watch and they rate the commercials and... People are, you know, I went to a party and everybody was staring at, it was a giant screen, 72 inches, and everybody was staring at the commercials. They wouldn't leave and watch the commercial spots.
Yeah, you got to go to the bathroom during the game.
That's right. Oh, there's another play coming up. They're going to challenge. Let me run to the bathroom. So, yeah, maybe that's another way to put it. I didn't think there were as many bad ones, but maybe that's because there wasn't as many memorable ones. I thought the thing with the Bud truck and the people making the human bridge was kind of clever. Because I just saw The Hangover, a movie that you loved, and I love that movie. I just happened to see it a couple of nights ago. They had that thing about the whale, which to me was funny only because I had seen that Hangover thing and the whole Bachelor deal, so I giggled at that. So there were some funny moments. The Betty White thing was funny just because of the, you know, trying to show the aging thing of when you're playing football, you know. That was kind of clever. Yeah.
I like the Doritos one, where the guy's picking up his date, and her son's there. It's the little, like, 4 or 5-year-old kid, and he gets all up in his face, and he says, two things, don't touch my mama and don't touch my Doritos.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was good. Pretty good.
That was good. So there were some clever moments. I mean, what they're going for actually is to have a memorable spot, because the idea is, like, the Hyundai spot, that, sure, you might not be running out to buy one today, but it kind of sticks with you. It's that subliminal thing. It sticks with you in the back of your, you know, in the back of your head. It's funny, they did a national survey, and the national survey picked Budweiser Bull as the Super Bowl's top commercial. that was the best one. According to Huffington Post, they thought that the number one ad was the Snickers ad that I mentioned with Betty White. You know, you bite the Snickers and then you turn into a regular guy. You're not playing like Betty White in this game. The Doritos Play Nice was second to that. There was the Volkswagen VW Punch dub, the Doritos Underdog. So Doritos did score pretty good in all of those places. Yeah. And then there was promos. And one of the promos that actually stood out, just because of the whole nonsense with Leno and Letterman and Conan and all that stuff, was the Oprah, Leno, and Letterman teaming up for that Super Bowl ad. And I think we have that. Here's what that sounded like.
This is the worst Super Bowl party ever.
Now, Dave, be nice.
I'm just saying that because I'm here.
I'm just saying that because I'm here.
Yeah. And so, obviously, it's, you know, their 16-year feud or not really being in love with each other on display. But they did it. You know, they did the spot, and it was kind of funny. So Letterman mocking Leno and, you know, a couple of other things. It was pretty good from that point of view, I guess. And how did they get them to put that together? I mean, how did they decide that they were going to sit down and do this? I think Oprah Winfrey being the peacemaker between them was pretty clever. But this is the interesting thing. Because in the age of Avatar, as somebody said in something I read, a lot of viewers might have thought that getting, you know, Jay and Dave plus Oprah together in the same frame was done through computer graphic imagery. But they didn't do it. They produced it. They were there together. They produced it. Rob Burnett said it was put together just like any other spot would be put together. They shot the promo. They did it. They put it in, and, you know, Dave had the idea, and they put it in, and they agreed. But the crazy thing is Jay and Oprah agreeing to that? So they didn't tell anybody. It never leaked out. And they filmed it last Tuesday at the home of The Late Show. How about that? So Leno went so far as to be disguised. He got there in a hooded sweatshirt, dark glasses, and a fake mustache. How about that? I don't know. So I'm still laughing over that spot. The Saints beat the Colts 31-17. We had some decent commercials, but Matt described it as unmemorable. I described it as there wasn't as many that were so terrible, so maybe it's the same way of saying it didn't stick out. But it does go down in history as one of the 10 most watched television broadcasts of all time. So somebody said to me, my theory was, you know, the whole New Orleans thing, the underdog and people watching. Somebody else said to me, hey, more women are watching sports. More women are watching football, and maybe they're more involved in the games and more, you know, even if they're not going to parties or whatever, they're flipping on the tube and they're watching it. And, you know, you go back in history and you look at some of the all-time big broadcasts, and a couple of the others have been Super Bowl contests, like the Cowboys and the Broncos. That showed up on the radar. But this one was incredible, 106 million. On the flip side, we got more politics for you. Hang with us here on ATN.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget,
crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Have your house payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? You need help from MortgageFraudExaminers.com. To stop the housing crisis, Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages. The trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you get the leverage you need to turn things around. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages are legally deficient. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. It's like CSI for your home loan. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating when faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. Find out how MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you. Visit MortgageFraudExaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Opening up the discussion in front of the cameras on February 25th, we're talking about bipartisan cooperation, and C-SPAN, I'm sure, is going to carry this, because remember there was that whole attack about not showing the last meetings, and supposedly they were all supposed to be on C-SPAN. Now there was no bipartisan cooperation. Now they're supposedly going to try to make this bipartisan cooperation. Here's what Congressman Dennis Kucinich had to say about this bipartisan push and where it's all headed.
Well, you know, I would submit, Megan, that the great divide in healthcare isn't Republican or Democrat. It's for-profit or not-for-profit healthcare. And until we confront that central reality, it's going to be very difficult to have any kind of bill, no matter who you get in the room. Well, you know, I didn't vote for the bill in the House because I felt that requiring people to buy private insurance where there's no cap on premium is a big problem. But I think that if we move forward, you have to keep in mind that those 47 million Americans who don't have any health insurance, they're Republican as well as Democrats and independents. And we need to look to the issue of health care and how do we expand it so where everyone's covered. That's my proposal. I've had it out there. Hasn't yet been discussed by the White House. Maybe on this round it will. Medicare for all. Cover everyone. This is an economic issue as well as a hot political issue.
It certainly is a hot political issue. He's right. It is an economic issue. There's no question about that. The problem is what was initially being pushed and pushed and pushed and prodded to jam it through, it just didn't add up. It added up to higher premiums and money that didn't make sense. So now you look at what the other side of the coin is saying, what the drug makers and the hospitals are saying, and what even some of the insurance companies are saying. And, you know, honestly, what's going to have to happen with the future landscape, I think, of healthcare, because we've had all these incredible high medical expenses, and in the direction, if there is some kind of healthcare reform, what most likely, in order to survive, what you're going to have to see is probably some mergers of some companies, and the drug makers, wouldn't that be great? The drug makers take it on the chin because they're not going to see as many bucks as they've seen in the past. I mean, it's all about Big Pharma, baby. I have no problem taking a bite out of Big Pharma. Hey, they should be able to make a profit, but they shouldn't be able to gouge everybody, and that's what they've been allowed to do. And ultimately, I think that's what will happen. Somehow taming that down. I mean, that's the real healthcare reform. That's what it's all about. If that's what happens as far as any kind of a bipartisan cooperation thing, you know, so it'll be more research with the healthcare insurance companies. It'll be more research with the hospitals, more research with the doctors. Let's hope that's where it's headed. Let's hope that's what we see. No guarantee of it, but February 25th is definitely the day that all this will happen in your living room if you want to watch it. But there's been some interesting, I like the headline I saw, healthcare theatrics, that's a great way to put it. There has been some interesting theatrics of late. Now, these Tuesday meetings are supposed to take place with the GOP and the White House. So does that yield anything in front of the meeting on the 25th? That was the idea, is to get the ball rolling. So there would be a couple of things in place, some of the ideas that everybody could agree on, whether it was pre-existing conditions or health care premiums or whatever, that they could head to the table and start to negotiate and have the president involved in this. And it wouldn't be such a minefield because so much of this would already be hammered out. But I thought that's what they were trying to do before. Side note to Washington and what's happening in the Beltway. John Murtha, 77 years old, is dead. And Murtha is the guy who, when you think of the fight with Iraq, when you think of rattling some cages, he was one of those guys. He was an officer in the Marine Reserves for the first 8 of his 18 terms in office, and he was that blue-collar Democrat, absolutely. I mean, he was all about that working-class folk, and he was a supporter of gun rights, while he still, at the same time, was an opponent of abortion rights. But he had the talent for as they weave the sentence, bringing home the pork that got him in a lot of hot water ethically. He got in a lot of trouble for that, and of course he was forever known for the time he got up and railed in 2005 when he talked about the course of the Iraq war and was very skeptical and said the war in Iraq is not going as advertised. It's a flawed policy wrapped in an illusion, and the American public is way ahead of us. The United States and coalition troops, this is Murtha's words, have done all they can do in Iraq, but it is time for a change in direction. Our military is suffering. The future of our country is at risk. We cannot continue on our present course. So the 77-year-old warrior who, as I said, stayed in office for as long as he did. He died on Monday from gallbladder surgery complications. And, you know, he was one of those guys that came out of the Vietnam era and was there and was mostly, for the most part, popular in his district until some of the things started to happen with in the last couple of years. But previous to that, he was incredibly popular. And you think of the congressman and the words that he said and the debate, how it was going at that point in time in 2005, the mentality. And there was a lot of unease with some of the main people in the Democratic Party about what was happening in the war, but they didn't really come out and say too much about it. But Murtha just railed on it. And he had that, because he had the tenure, I guess, he had some of that cred that he could pull out and cash in. And so he was the guy to do it, and I think that's what he'll go down for. I think he'll go down as being remembered as that guy, as the guy who got up and went nuts and asked questions about what was going on with Iraq and how the American people really, really, really feel about it. Hey, you can always shoot me your thoughts at AmericaTonight.net, AmericaTonight.net. When we talk about politics here and a guy like John Murtha, you know, who fills those shoes? Who fills the long-time John Murtha's shoes? And frankly, when we look ahead to 2012, who fills the role on the GOP side of things, which is getting interesting, for possible contenders for the presidency for the Republicans? Sarah Palin's name, boy, her name gets mentioned, I think, every single day I see Sarah Palin's name and whether she's going to consider a run and what kind of support would she get. Of course, now Scott Brown also, he's just been sworn in last week, but he's starting to get a little bit of buzz as, wow, what about this guy? You know, just like Barack Obama, he was a state senator. Now he goes to Washington, so he'd have a couple of years under his belt. So if you know, when they were talking about Obama not having experience, well, he has, as would at that time, have as much experience as Barack Obama. In fact, just a little bit more. So those are the two big names. I talked to a Republican strategist a couple of days ago, and we keep coming back to that. Huckabee's name is still on a short list, and there are a few other people that may be on that list too. Gingrich's name keeps coming up, and he's been asked about it. But nobody saying anything just yet. Just a little bit too early to dip into those waters. All right, as I am fond of saying occasionally on the show anyway, please, please, when you travel, take the road that's much more interesting. You know, it's a whole bunch of fun when you take that road less traveled.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?